It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Another episode of BB Can 4 has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name's Jordan Parhar, and I'm here with you once again today to recap the Wednesday night episode of Big Brother Canada 4. And with me today are some special guests. First, he's a man who is famous for popping balloons and for getting $10,000 to the brick, various other things. He's a fan favorite from Big Brother Canada 3 and my close friend from the Fortress, baby. He's the Stephen Fishback to my Rob Cesarino, Kevin Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin,
oh, what's up, Jordan? Again, Jordan's introductions are just so overhyped, unbelievable. What's up, man? Awesome episode of Big Brother Canada. Oh, God. I mean, this season, I'm going to say it, is kind of blowing season three out of the water. I mean, I was on season three, and from an outside perspective, I'm like, this is an amazing cast, amazing television. Even the twists, which I'm usually vocal about how I hate them, they're coming together this season. I'm just so excited to talk about it. Excellent episode tonight for sure.
Come on. It's not even close. This is way better than season three, and we're like a week. We're in week two. I mean,
yeah,
no contest. Ask me. I'm a little biased because I've got some bad memories from that season. But just saying. all right. And last but not least, he's with me again. He's been with me so many times in this podcast. He's always talking about the live feeds. He's covering it for you on the Twitter. He's at Armstrong Taryn over there. Definitely give him a follow if you haven't already. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how's it going this evening?
I'm doing good. You know, I'll always be by your side, Jordan. I just need my potassium. Make sure I get it, okay?
And the almond milk too, right? That's also on your list. Was that not Nikki's other thing that she was complaining about? They didn't show that in the show, but I heard she demanded those two things. She must have them.
Well, let's not forget the vodka as well.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Nikki is.
We haven't seen a dietary restriction like this since Peter Brown in season one and the salad game.
Oh yes,
they should have a picky eater off.
A picky eater off. Man, maybe in Niagara Falls at the end of the season, Kevin, we can have Nikki and Peter, and we can find out who is more of a picky eater between the two of them. Should be an interesting contest. Just want to remind you guys watching us live, we are live on a Google Hangout here today, not on Blab. So if you want to tweet us your questions, you can do so by tweeting myself. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use the hashtag RHAP. You can also leave a comment on the YouTube video. That's actually the best way to get your questions to us. So go ahead and do that if you have a question for us for later in the show. And we're also monitoring the chat on robiswebsite.com. So hop on over there if you haven't already. All right, let's just jump right into this episode, guys. So like Kevin said, great season so far. I'm super excited to see how this thing unfolds. Although Big Brother is one of those shows I find where the beginning of the season always tends to be really good, unless the season is like completely terrible, because we have all of the big personalities, your Ginger Ninjas, your Paul Jacksons, your Tom Plants of the world are still in the house, so it makes it entertaining. Even though we don't really have that like clear favorite for that role just yet. Well, maybe we kind of do with my buddy Dallas Bro, who we'll get into in a little bit. But so far, so good. Kevin, what do you think about just this episode in general and just the season? Who's standing out to you so far?
Yeah, the season's starting off hot. Like you said, usually the first 4 to 5 episodes, Twitter blows up. Everyone gets really excited. We're seeing some big personalities. And it's interesting setup, because I was pretty vocal about the international twist not being my favorite. I tweeted about it. I was really disappointed that maybe some other people were taken away from possible Canadians getting on the show. But man, I have to apologize, because I was completely wrong. I mean, Tim and Nikki really carrying the diary room, which is one of my favorite parts of the entire show. I think it's very, very key to how an episode comes across and how a character is developed. So Tim and Nikki absolutely slaying the diary room. I mean, still general thoughts. There's some awful gameplay going on, which makes entertaining television for sure. And we're having some good mix. The hide and seek scene was hilarious. I died when Phillip's hiding in the shower. Like, there's, I mean, the editing's on point. I cannot give enough props for how this season has started. But I said that about season one and season two. So hopefully, episode number 5 through 15, we can keep this momentum going.
For sure. And for season one and season two, it did keep going. Season three, but this season, yeah, so far so good. And I think a big part of it is the fact that we've got so many people who, like you said, do not know how to play this game. That's what makes the show interesting, is having people who, we want to have a big separation between the top tier players and the bottom tier players, because that's when we see these bottom tier players make mistakes, and then these top tier players run circles around them. Super entertaining to watch that unfold, and so far so good. Tim Dormer, oh my god, that guy is something else. We'll get into him in a little bit. Let's talk about the start of this episode. So Sherry and Levita are on the block, and Shari is saying that, Jared, you said that I'm on the block because I'm just because I'm associated with Levita. Wow, that's a pretty weak excuse, buddy. Like, how come? Clearly, Shari has not seen this show, right, Kevin?
I mean, it's kind of a perfect excuse, you know what I mean? When like I've they're always together on live feeds. They're always doing everything together. I mean, a nomination, if the target is Levita, right? A nomination besides Sherry would be ridiculous. And I mean, that again, that might have been a diary room session. I think Sherry's actually a pretty observant person, and that might have just been a little bit of production trying to get her to say that, because obviously that's the correct and right nomination.
Shari was really on point with the diary rooms today. She had another one where she said, they're just going to backdoor someone right out of here. Shari and Levita are going to do that, right, Taryn?
Oh, totally, because that's how it works. That's how Big Brother works. Actually, yeah. I'm pretty sure Kelsey had to she didn't understand what a backdoor was, and I think she also didn't know what the jury was, so we're going to have a lot of this.
Oh, jeez. Poor Shari. See, I really do like Shari a lot. It's just very clear that she has not really seen too much of the show, which, again, probably good for the season and the health of season 4. So Levita is on, you know, Shari is like really strong. She's saying, yeah, like we're going to fight. And, you know, this is an alliance to the end and all this kind of stuff. And Levita at the start of this episode is the complete opposite. She is taking this approach as if, you know, she's like, I'm done. I don't want to play anymore. The classic, you know, first Ugh. HOH, you know, goes on a power trip, and then as soon as they get nominated afterwards, they're like, yeah, you know, just like, you know, I'm sorry, I love the guy to death, but just like Paul Jackson, who in season 2 was like, dude, no, like, I'm just, and he's like just doing all this crazy stuff and going all over the place. What did you think of that, Kevin? Were you surprised that Levita really kind of just wanted to give up after that?
Yeah, I mean, week 1, hey, I'm HOH, we need to make a power move. Let's split up the showmans. Let's play this game. Let's play this stream. Oh, wait, it's week 2? This game's sneaky. I don't even know if I want to be here. Like, just like a change of demeanor from HOH to being on the block. Like, girl, fight for your spot. Make plans. Try to get things going so that you stay and your friend leaves. But she just kind of wilted she just wanted to take her ball and go home, and I was a little bit disappointed to see that.
Yeah, I almost thought that she was kind of doing that as part of her strategy, but based on what we saw tonight, I feel like that was her genuine feeling about the whole situation, and her saying, if I win, I'm going to use the veto on Shari, that really surprised me as well. Taryn, did you get a sense of, just from watching the feeds, had Levita won the veto, do you think that's ultimately what she would have done?
She was saying pretty adamantly that she was going to take Shari off the block and that she was full on, save Shari, I'm going to go home. It's very much like if you play a game that's very long, like Monopoly or chess, and you make a huge mistake right in the beginning and you're just like, oh man, I just messed that up. I don't want to deal with this thing. Can we just restart? Like, I feel like that's what she was.
That's a really good analogy. I like that, because I did that myself when I was like 5 and 6 years old quite a bit. You know, you'd play, you get the game going, you'd be like, I'm good. Let's play some other game. But yeah, it was just very, very interesting seeing that. And then from the veto, I mean, it did seem to change, because during the veto competition, she was really into it, and she is a big time competitor. I was really impressed with how Levita brought it in that competition. And we can get into that into a little bit. One thing before we jump into the veto I want to talk about is the whole Dallas situation. So we saw this edited version of the whole Dallas blow up, which was this, I believe was, Taryn, it was last Saturday, right?
Yeah, it was right before the last podcast. So yeah, I think it was Saturday.
Okay, and so basically what they show is they don't show any of the – what we saw on the show was that basically Jared and Kelsey called out Dallas for – they thought he was the fourth vote, whatever, and they said, we know you did it, and he came out and was like, yeah, you're right, I did it. But it seemed like it was a much shortened version of what actually happened. So, Taryn, can you walk us through the entire story of what happened that night?
I don't think you want to know the whole story because it was basically Dallas repeating himself over and 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 over. But basically, they'd gotten drunk that night, and Jared's whole side knew at that point that Dallas was the person who had voted Kelsey out. He had been trying to lie about it, but everyone knew the truth at that point. So they're like, Dallas, come on! And as we saw, he eventually came out with it. The part we didn't see was Jared, to get the truth out of him, said, hey, listen, Ramsey told me that you did it. And so Dallas said, Ramsey, get out of here, before he admitted to everything. And then after that was super angry at Ramsey and thought that he'd ratted him out when he hadn't. He hadn't at all. He had actually been trying to put the blame on Cassandra, which was the party line at the time. So there was a huge rift there, and Jared actually was like, you know what, I think we can trust Dallas now. So we kind of got a different sense from the episode, which is interesting.
Yeah, the editing just seemed way off from what had been happening on the feeds, or at least what I had been seeing and hearing. Kevin, scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate Dallas's gameplay so far?
Oh, he came off so bad this episode. I feel he's not going to, you know, when he gets out and watches the season, he's going to cringe a little bit at this episode or whatever. But yeah, pretty bad. I mean, future advice for contestants, it's kind of impossible to hide votes. Season 1, Liza Stinton tried to hide a vote, blew up in her face, made her a target because she threw that fake vote on Emmett. Season 2, I'm not sure if there's any fake votes. Season 3, Cindy tried in our season. Terrible. Everyone knew within 30 seconds what went on. Jordan, you were gone at that moment, unfortunately.
Well, everyone except me, Kevin. Yes, everyone except me.
Until Jordan didn't know in jury, but everyone in the house was just clear.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
I think it's good to be straightforward with your votes. Be honest. Say, I'm voting for this person with this reason. Display your loyalty that way. And the hidden vote, and then he's just kind of like, he's like, you know when you catch a kid lying, he's holding a cookie, saying, I didn't take a cookie, I didn't take it. Like, Dallas, you're holding the cookie, you know what I mean? This made him look really poorly. So yeah, not a great showing by Dallas.
I really like that analysis there. And to build off of that, yeah, those people all got caught when they did it. And the one time in season 2 where it could have happened was when Sarah Miller, Mumsy, she took her shot at, yeah. I believe when she voted out Paul over Heather, and she kind of made it clear that she was separating from the girls. That time it worked, but then the girls kind of did accept her after that because she was honest. She said, yeah, guys, it was me. You got to be a really elite player to pull something like that off. The one guy that comes to mind, Eric Stein, Big Brother 8, he got away with it for weeks during that season when he kept having to vote the wrong way because of America's Player, but excellent advice there. And yeah, Dallas, I'm sorry, bro. I mean, it's just you can't hide it. The Tim shenanigans this week, that was another thing too that I found really interesting. Kevin, of the three clips we saw one, tell me which one you enjoyed the most. Okay, we had Kevin, are you familiar with Ding Mary Kill?
I mean, yeah, of course, everyone, yeah.
Okay, so Kevin, Ding Mary Kill, Tim saying to Christine that he wants to blow people up, or he wants to just, like, push people's buttons to get them to blow up, okay, yeah. That's one. Tim saying to Joel, burn the entire house down, or Tim telling Jared about the voice in his head that tells him, like, maybe just let out that one little bit of a laugh, like, not really, like, you know, kind of, but just laugh anyway. I thought it was so amazing. I mean, this guy is so – he's so funny. This guy's so
great. What about when he was behind the door and Nikki went and then he, like, it was amazing. It was
that too. Yeah, that too. I mean, he's like, oh. Yeah. He's just
John
he's,
Party. Oh, sorry. John Party tweeted. John Party, great tweet earlier this week. He says that moment when the best contestant on Big Brother Canada is not Canadian, and that's what we have with Tim Dormer. Man, he's so good. He just lights it up. I'm so jealous, and he's so amazing, and I'm in awe of him. And I can't imagine, like, these other people got to be just, like, starstruck by him too.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I will admit, I wasn't the most familiar with Australia going into the season, and neither were you, Kevin, but I'm already in love with this guy. I mean, it's crazy, and it seems like the entire house is in love with this guy, except Mitch. Mitch is the only guy who kind of at least has the wherewithal to realize that, hey, you know what, this guy might be able to go far into this game. Taryn, on the feeds from what you've been seeing, is that correct from what we saw on the show? Is Mitch the only person who is actually concerned about Tim?
Well, to Mitch's credit, we had no idea that he really thought that about Tim, because he hasn't really voiced it to anyone yet, and it would be very dangerous for him to do so because Tim is very liked at the moment. I do see this coming, where I feel like Tim and Mitch are probably the two best players in the house, and I feel like at some point they have to clash, and one of them is going to be the downfall of the other, and it's just like, no, I want you to work together. But yeah, I think Mitch is the one guy that Tim probably isn't going to be able to charm.
Yeah, Mitch is good. He's got game, man. I'm looking forward to seeing Mitch play. It's kind of like, this throws me back to early 2014, watching Neda Kalantar in like week two, week three of Big Brother Canada 2, just kind of like waiting in the weeds to make a move. And then, I mean, well, Neda was actually more trouble than Mitch early on. But when he does come and play, it's going to be fun to see that battle, Tim versus Mitch. Kev, who do you, right now, if we're just taking a guess, I mean, we have no idea what's actually going to happen, but who do you see coming out on top of this thing? Do you think Tim's going to go further, or do you think Mitch is going to be the one that makes it further?
Man, there's like two warriors, in my opinion, the two people most likely to take this thing down. If we're looking at the Vegas betting odds, I think it's between Tim and Mitch at this point. At least that's what we're seeing on the edited show. I think Mitch might have a slight upper hand again, because he can fit in a little more with the Canadian cast. He doesn't have that big personality. He hasn't won $250,000 on a game show before, so he has those things going for him, whereas Tim has that on his record. So I would take Mitch with the slight upper hand, but I mean, it's just like, I don't know how you can go wrong. I'm in love with both the characters.
Both great. They really are. Okay, let's speak of Mitch, let's talk about the veto. Great performance by Mitch in this POV competition. I mean, he gets the key to move on to the final round, but he blatantly gets all through. I mean, he had to have been throwing that blatantly, getting all, and he doesn't get any single question right. Let's go down to Levita and Shari. Did we hear any in the aftermath of this, Taryn, did we hear Mitch talking about throwing this thing on the feet?
No, I actually didn't see any of it, and like from what we saw on the show, I would have expected to see people being like, "Do you think he threw that?" Because he was really terrible. But I really didn't see any of that, unless I missed it. But I'm pretty sure I didn't. So he seems to have carried it off pretty well.
Let's talk about the star of the veto competition, and that is somebody. You know, it's not Christine. It's not Christine. She. Great performance, great job. Won $10,000. She won a power veto. But I think the big name that everybody in Canada was so stunned to actually see come on to Big Brother this evening was Mike Bell, Kevin. Wasn't that unreal? That
the guy from the commercials.
The producers of Big Brother Canada got the Mike Bell.
Yeah, no clue.
Famous
who it is.
From the. Oh, my. Kevin, I couldn't believe it. How do you think they convinced him to come on the show?
I don't know, man. He must have paid him a lot of cash, I guess. That's an insane celebrity appearance.
Personally, when I think of Canada, I think of Mike Bell. That's just well known, right?
And okay, the sad thing about this is that now there's people who watch this across the world, and they're thinking like, oh, wow, this Mike Bell guy is like a big deal.
Yeah.
Nobody in Canada has any idea who the hell this guy is. Yeah. Who is that? Mike Bell. And Jared's like, oh, yeah, you know, I walked out in the backyard, and I saw, oh, yeah, Mike, the guy from the Brick commercials. It's like, dude, nobody knows who that is.
Yeah. I won the $10,000 gift card last year. I didn't even know who he was. I won like the competition.
Wait. So Mike Bell did not come to your house to like personally deliver the oversized check? Oh
man,
my gosh.
He big timed you.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, and he gave Sarah Hanlon a shout out in the competition, not you, Kevin.
Yeah. Unbelievable disrespect. Godfrey had a great tweet. He tweeted, "I was hoping that Mike Bell was the third wild card." Guys, do we want Mike Bell to play this game?
Chat, you guys let us know. Should Mike Bell go into the Big Brother Canada 4 house right now? Kevin and I will work our magic. We'll see if we can get this thing trending on Twitter. Hashtag, let's start a hashtag, Mike for BBCan4. I think that's a good hashtag. Yeah. So if we want to get that going. But, like, I'm sorry. But first up, this competition, okay, it's supposed to be a ripoff of The Price is Right, yet we get, like, an old crappy version. It's sort of like a guy who's, like, a mix of Bob Barker and Drew Carey. It's like they're not picking, like, which version of The Price is Right host they want. Mm-hmm. Like, why not just call – honestly, why not just call Godfrey Manguiza and get Godfrey to host this competition? Because if we're going to get someone from the outside, get someone from Big Brother that people know who's hilarious, entertaining, can actually do something. Godfrey was on was he on Match Game? Godfrey was on a game show, so I feel like he would fit this thing, right? Like, Kevin, who would you have rather had host this competition?
I think we'll get Godfrey later this season, hopefully, for an appearance. I mean, usually they'll have, like, Rob Gronkowski or, like, a celebrity host the competition, but, like, the CEO of a furniture store in Canada.
But Kevin, is he the CEO? I feel like he's just an old guy that comes up commercials. I don't know. I'm going to Google Mike Bell right now, and we're going to see exactly what his title is, because it's I don't think it's anything prestigious.
Is he on Twitter? I couldn't find a Twitter handle. I couldn't find anything. This was just the funniest thing.
My gosh. There's a Michael Bell. Wikipedia is showing me lots of stuff. Okay, guys, if you're watching this live or you're listening to this in the audio archives, please tweet me. Tweet us and let us know if you can figure out what Mike Bell actually does. Because I honestly don't know. And breaking news, Alec Beal said he's going to try and get him to come to Niagara, Kevin. So yes. Apparently we'll be having drinks with the great legendary Mike Bell at the end of this season. Oh, my gosh.
This can't be a coincidence, right, that this is like a Price is Right ripoff, right as they're filming like the Survivor Price is Right kind of thing and the Big Brother one. Like they felt left out, right, and they felt like they'd just do their own.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is the thing, is, like, I don't – honestly, I feel like Big Brother Canada is so focused on Canada that they don't even pay attention to that kind of stuff. So I honestly just think – I think they were probably thinking the Price is Right thing with the name tags, but I don't think they were thinking, oh, there's going to be, you know, Max Dawson and all these other Survivor people that are going to be on the Price is Right very shortly, so we need to do a Price is Right competition. I don't think that's the route they were going. I think it was just poor timing on their part. But regardless, was not the biggest – I mean, the competition – I'll give them credit. Didn't like the theme. I like the competition. Kevin, what did you think about the comp?
I like competitions that are – no, it wasn't – I mean, the silver keys, we had no clue where they were. We just kind of saw people – it wasn't very – the competition didn't tell the visual story very well. You just saw people running around bumping into each other. The keys weren't colored. I don't know. This was a below-average competition for me, but it's not like the competition, you know. I don't watch Big Brother to watch these people do these silly competitions. I watch for the secret conversations anyway.
I do too, but, you know, Kevin, I do really enjoy competitions where somebody who spelled their own name wrong in the preseason when they were spelling their name card can beat everybody in a mental competition. I really enjoy those because
my favorite part at the end was the flip the cushion for an extra 5,000.
Like, well, what? Like, I thought that there was – here's what I think they should have done, and feel free to steal this next season, Big Brother Canada, is do one of these money type of competitions, and at the end, they get a chance to win – they get a chance to maybe, like, spin a wheel or get a shot in an extra – to double their money. But in order to do that, they have to give the veto to the second-place finisher because then – that would have made things interesting because I feel like Christine might have gone for the 10 Gs, gives the veto to LaVita. Then things become a little bit more interesting. I think that makes this thing, you know, this little side versus side clash within the house, I think that makes it more enjoyable. Maybe the jury's out on that, but I think, I don't know, like, how exciting was it to see, like, Taryn, come on, like, what were you thinking, like, when they're like, oh, okay, when Mike Bell's like, guess what, Christine, you have another shot at winning some more money, flip a cushion, and there was no, like, it was like, weren't you wondering, like, is that it?
Oh, I mean, I knew he'd won 10,000 and not 5,000, so I was waiting for that. But I was very underwhelmed at how it happened. Just like, okay, there's a couch there.
Yeah, it just I don't know what was going on there. One thing in the competition, Kevin, I wanted to ask you. We did see in the comp an early edition of Sarah Hanlon's book, How to Win Big Brother. Why do you think that they didn't use my book, How to Completely Fail at Big Brother, during that competition?
That would have been that would have been an amazing shout out. Yeah, congrats to our girl Sarah for getting an awesome side. I just watched the first episode of the Sideshow. She's killing that as well. So I'm really happy to see Sarah getting the love. Now, yeah, Godfrey's the next shout out we need. There's got to be a lady pleaser, something out there, man.
There's got to be. Godfrey, Kevin, you know I love you. I think everyone knows I love you. But as a fan of Big Brother, I think I'm gonna say it publicly for the first time. Godfrey Manguiza is my favorite player to watch of Big Brother. He really is. That guy, the professor, he's insane, dude. I mean, yeah. it's so great. So hopefully we can get some more Godfrey at some point during this season. What did you think of the controversy of the Christine having the I don't even really, to be honest, I was writing notes during this, so I didn't quite see what it was. Did she have, like, she had part of the answer to one of the questions, it was a picture or something, and then Lovita ripped it out of her hands? Is that fair game, you think, Kev?
What? What is this? I missed.
Yeah, so during, Taryn, you saw this, right? During the veto, there was that, Christine had, like, she had part of the answer to it, and she was running back to, like, this was during the final round. She had it in her hand, and Lovita just, like, ripped it out of her hands and then ran and then answered instead. And then Christine was complaining about it. She's like, that was my answer. Do you remember that part?
Yeah. It was an OTEV moment where, you know.
Yes.
Plain because there was a tiny bit of physical contact. It's a competition. Like, if you're not grabbing that from her, then what are you doing in this game?
Yeah, straight up. I mean, I don't know. I just found that interesting, but good on the, you know what, honestly, I walked away from this very impressed by, not just Christine, but by Lovita. Lovita really fought very hard, and competition-wise, I mean, she's a big threat, so it's going to be entertaining to see if she survives, what happens moving forward here. Go ahead, Kev.
I wanted the Lovita win because I actually wanted to know if she was going to take Sherry off the block. I mean, I'm not a historian of this game like you guys are. Has anyone who's been on the block won and taken the person off next to them? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, so it was a little different. And Taryn, I'll let you take it, my friend.
Well, it was Evil Dick took off his daughter Danielle, which is kind of, you know, it doesn't really count because obviously, you know, they're going to do that. And obviously Brendan did the same, but I guess Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan, I mean, that's a little different.
Yeah, because they had just kind of met, you know, relatively recently, so.
Well, wasn't it in 13 that Brendan did that? So they were engaged. So, I mean,
they'd still just met the year before, so.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. I don't know. It's debatable. Also, too, Danielle used the veto on Evil Dick, I think at Final 4, Final 5? I'm not quite too sure how. Just sort of, like, repay the favor. So yeah. But other than that.
Yeah, no, like, best friends who met 2 weeks ago.
The only one, which we can say is pretty much, pretty, it might as well have been that, was Big Brother 3, infamously, Marcellus wins the veto, he doesn't know if he wants to take himself off or Amy off, he just doesn't use it because he can't decide, and then Jason Guy votes him out. So that's pretty much the only instance where that happened, but I agree, I feel like if push came to shove, she'd use it on herself. I think if you're in there, you take a deep breath, you realize, you know what, I've known this person for like 15 days or something, not even at this point, I have to use it on myself. I mean, you can't not. I mean, it really, like, I think she would beat herself up way too much if she wasn't going to be using it on herself. But I don't know. I guess stranger things have happened to Big Brother.
I think she would have used it on herself. I think when that eviction day is looming closer, and the decision is there, she's gonna go, actually, you know what? I think I'm gonna use it.
And you know what? And Shari wouldn't get mad. Shari would be like, all right, well, you won it, because I mean, no one's gonna care.
Shari would have gotten a little mad.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, because honestly, okay, if you're on the block next to somebody, like, you know, if Kevin and I were on the block against each other, and Kevin won the veto, and Kevin said to me, you know what, JP, I'm gonna use it on you, but then after he's like, you know what, man, like, sorry, I gotta save myself. I don't understand, because he won the veto. Like, you can't get mad. I mean, it's just how it is.
I agree with you, but I don't think Sherry has the same constitution as you for that kind of thing. I think that the line would have been like, oh, like, why did you say you were going to do it if you're just going to back out? And, like, she would have been upset at that.
Yeah, I think this season the philosophy is a little bit different. I mean, we saw from Jared talking about Dallas, he was like, my mom raised me to be, you know, honest and trustworthy. So like, Dallas is clearly not the same guy. It's like, dude, like, this is a game. Like, come on. Like,
I love your Jared impression.
My Jared and my Phil impression are pretty much the same. Phil is just like a little more energetic. But I love Phil, by the way. He's very entertaining.
Phil's great.
He is very funny.
He totally referenced Chilltown. Did you guys notice that?
What did he say?
In one of the first diary rooms of the episode, he was talking about how Jared wasn't going to nominate the brothers, so they were totally safe and they could just chill. And then they went back and laughed and, you know, kicked their legs up.
Little feet kick. Yeah, I didn't pick up on that.
I didn't pick up on that either, but there you go. That's why we have Taryn on this panel, because he can give us that insight. Kevin, I hear someone in the background. You should maybe invite them and see if they'll come in.
Yes. Peely.
What?
I think she's drinking alcohol.
Okay.
Come say hi, Peely. Say hi. They want to say hi.
So while Kevin is calling Peely in here from Peely Niemer from Big Brother Canada 3.
We need a Peely appearance on the episode if we can get a.
Yeah, so we'll see. Come share some
of your thoughts here. Here we go. She's here.
Okay, so before we get into the live feeds, we're gonna talk to Peely Niemer from Big Brother Canada 3. Everybody loves Peely, right? I mean, how can you not love Peely? How's it going, Peely?
Good.
Welcome to the Happy Hour. Say hi. This is my friend Taryn from Boston. Say hi to Taryn, Peely.
Hi, Taryn.
Hi, Peely.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good.
Isn't Peely the greatest, Taryn?
I love Peely.
Stop that. What's going on here, peeps?
Peely, what were your thoughts on thank you for coming on and talking with us. What was your thoughts on the episode? Jared is happy that they didn't use the veto. Lavita and Shari are on the block together. Who do you think's going home, Peely?
I mean, the fact that Lavita said that if she won veto, that she would use it on Shari, like, no, you're not playing for someone else. Play for yourself. Like, no, that's just, has that ever happened before?
We just talked about it, Peely.
There you go. We just talked about it. Yeah, you'll have to go back and listen, Peely. Okay, interesting. Peely, who are you liking this season?
I like Paige.
Why Paige, Peely? Why Paige? Is it because you guys are so likable? You're just cute.
I can relate to her. She's so sweet. No, I sounds weird because he's not Canadian, but I loved him. I think he's a great player and he's great TV. Like, he's got both. I mean, what are the chances that a freaking non-Canadian person wins a Canadian show? But I think he's doing great.
What about your Mexican brother,
Raul? I like his sassiness. He's like a Johnny, I find. No, I like him.
Though. Oh, God.
What's that?
A terrible player.
Oh, totally. I don't know. I just feel like these players are just playing too hard too soon. It's week two, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, Jared and Kelsey are already showmancing, like, hardcore, like, it's week two. They're putting a target on their back hardcore. Like, I like to see how Jared would play on his own. Like, right now he's playing for both of them because on his ceremony, HOH ceremony, he said that, like, he mentioned that someone, like, they were targeting Kelsey. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, he put it out there that he's working with her. Like, it's clear. And that's just a red flag right there.
Peely, let me ask you this. You and Kevin obviously both made it. Well, I mean, Kevin kind of got screwed by the people. But, like, you made it pretty far into the game with help from a showman. So you're saying that you think it's too early. But ultimately, do you think if they can get past these next few weeks that they can go far into the game?
Like, I mean, individually, it would, like, their chances individually of going further, they're better because right now they're almost like a 2-1. Like, they would say that same thing for Kevin and I, which is not true necessarily, but they already have a target on their back. They're already seen as the power couple. And like I said, it's week two. Like, this shouldn't be happening so early. Also, Lavita, for example, changing the subject here, like, she's like talking game hardcore and like since like week one. Like, she's been, like, isolating herself from the house guests, like, talking game with a Shari. Like, they're like this. And it's so early. Like, they just need to, like, relax for a bit and enjoy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, it's. I hear you, Peely. I think that's a big reason why she's on the block this week. And I think that's why she's gaming too hard.
How about Christine's not... Oh, my God. At the end, Christine's like, I think you guys have earned your place on the block. And that's how the show ended. Holy...
Yeah, and here, Christine, I mean, this is not the first time that she's gone off about people. Like she said with Paige, she was like, I've been waiting 16 years for this. I vote to evict Paige.
Yeah, she's a... Holy smokes.
And then... Right, and then this week at the ceremony. So, what like is Christine a good guy? Is Christine a bad guy? Is she just a crazy person? What do you guys think?
She definitely has an edge to her. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say she has an edge to her. She seems really chill a lot of the time in the house, but then like you get her talking about someone she doesn't like, and she's just like done with them.
Yeah, Tara, let me follow up on that. What has, like, because we saw in the episode, she was it seemed like she was entertaining the idea of working with Shari and Levita. Did we see that on the live feeds? Was she actually considering making that move?
Not really. She said multiple times there was zero chance that she was ever going to use it and that she was delighted to be able to not use it because she was glad that they were up there.
So she is not a fan of Shari and Levita?
No.
Well, look at that, Christine, making friends. It's just, wow. Well done by Christine. Kevin and Peely, what do you think about that? Do you think that Christine should have considered using the veto on either Levita or Shari here?
I mean, no, I really don't think so. I mean, I mean, there's so many angles that you can look at it, but right now, if Christine just bees Christine, you know, wears her house coat around, she's probably going to make it to the middle stage of the game pretty safely. Like, I don't think anyone's saying that, as long as she doesn't annoy people too much or whatever. So I know, like, it would have been great television to save one of them, seeing the backdoor target and stuff, and as a fan, I want it, of course, but from Christine's perspective, pretty smart to, you know, just, like, let Levita remain isolated, stay in the good graces of the main clique or whatever we're calling them. So I think it's a good play by Chris. Boring, but good.
Peely, who wore the leopard print house coat better? Kevin or Christine?
She seems... I've been watching live feeds like religiously lately, and she seems to be wearing like leopard print every time it comes up on screen. Like she...
Did she not have something else too? Like she got a bra and stuff.
I think because they were doing laundry, and I remember Maddie and I can't remember who. They were like, "Who's this?" And they were like, "It's Christine's." And it was like a leopard, like it was a bra. I think everything she owns is like leopard, which is hilarious. It's amazing. I mean, I'm not complaining, but
it's like at least three separate items of like outfits are leopard print, and it's just ridiculous.
We got the picture here. Neha tweeted it out. Yeah, I mean, I swear, it's identical. It's like it's my robe. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, if you want to see the picture comparing Kevin and Christine, head to my Twitter. I retweeted the Neha's tweet that Kevin's referring to. But, yeah, interesting stuff here. Before we jump into the live feeds here, Taryn, walk us through Christine's position in the house now. She didn't use the veto. Has this bought her some good grace with the Jared and Kelsey crew, or is she kind of just going back to the sidelines after this?
Basically going back to the sidelines. She doesn't have any super strong ties with Jared. She's loosely associated with him and his group, and like associated with Cassandra as well, because Cassandra's kind of got her fingers everywhere. But yeah, apart from that, she's not really making any inroads with the other side, the Ramsey or Dallas or Maddie or them.
Okay, interesting stuff. Okay, I lied. Last thing before we get into the feeds. Kevin and Peely, question for you. Jared and Kelsey talked about potentially backdooring Dallas. Do you think going after Dallas this week is smarter than getting rid of Shari or Levita?
Okay, I'll say my perspective. There's just different ways that you can see a player, that you can look at it. It's either personality or, like, actually game-wise. Like, Dallas is a little bit annoying. He can talk a little too much, and he's not very lovable right now for what I've heard and, like, seen in life or whatever.
Wait, hold on. Peely, he's unlovable like Ben on The Bachelor?
Bachelor reference, I don't get it.
I love it. yeah, so She's a JP.
I broke Peely, guys. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
But yes, he lied to Jared, and like he lied to her, but he like admitted it. Like he didn't drag it. Like I don't think Dallas is a target right now. Like I don't. No, I feel like Shara's spicier. Like she's like into more the drama, more like rather than Dallas. What were you gonna say?
Well, I was gonna say before we throw it to Kevin Peely, who's the better player, Dallas or the Ginger Ninja?
Oh man! Oh, Ginger, gotta take back Greg into the house.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay, Kev, what's your take on the situation?
Oh, yeah, I mean, again, it's super early. First of all, to be head of household in week two, in my opinion, I mean, people think of the game differently. I'm just expressing my opinion. It's not the correct game theory optimal approach, but it's just like tough to be HOH week two. You already nominate two people, and then if you have to backdoor a third, yeah, I like it remaining the same. Keep it basic. Again, boring television usually equals good gameplay. Didn't like Andy from BB15, who is the king of boring television and the king of good gameplay. I think he threw that out on Twitter a while ago. So yeah, I like the move. Just like Dallas is not going to go after the couple, or at least not to my knowledge.
Well, we'll talk about that on the live feed with Taryn. So guys, if you don't want to hear any spoilers, you don't want to know, who's going home or anything like that, what the verdict is, then we'll see you, I guess, after the tomorrow's episode. But come on, I mean, there aren't really any spoilers. We know who won the veto, so just stick around. I mean, really, if you really are a stickler, though, check out Rob's show on Friday. I'm not 100% sure who he's talking to yet, but robiswebsite.com, follow him at Rob Sesternino. Should be Friday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and or maybe it's 3. Actually, I screwed that up. I think it's 3. One of those times, just check it out. It's going to be good. And follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. And tune in this upcoming Sunday. I'll be talking to Allison White from Big Brother Canada 2. So check that out this Sunday. Ali Dub on Twitter. We'll be talking about Tim and Nikki and what it's like going into the house after having a week of safety. She should have a lot of insight, so I'm excited to talk to Allison about that. Okay, live feeds. Taryn, let's hear about it. What's happening on the feeds? Who's going home? Is it Sherry or is it LaVita?
So it's not 100% locked, but definitely looking like Sherry is going home.
No way!
No! Sherry's going... Wow, all right, there we go. Interesting. So I believe Brent said on Sunday he thought that it was going to be LaVita, but right now, Taryn Armstrong, you heard her here first. He says that Shari is going to be going home tomorrow night. So is this going to be a unanimous vote? Is the house split? What's the verdict right now, Taryn?
Basically, these people, they go back and forth so much. Yeah. Kelsey was all about getting LaVita out, but then Cassandra worked on her for a while. Then Mitch came in and kind of sealed the deal and got her to switch to wanting to take out Shari. And then Jared has gone back and forth and who else? A bunch of people have gone back and forth. But basically, Mitch wants it, Cassandra wants it, Joel wants it, and I think those three are kind of the core of the majority group, and I think they will decide. The brothers also seem to be on board with that. So most of the votes are going toward evicting Shari. There might be a couple of other people that might vote the other way. There's a very complicated scheme by Kelsey to try and get people to purposely vote the wrong way so that she can blame them for it. But ultimately, Sherry looks to be the one going home.
Okay, explain this scheme by Kelsey, because that's very intriguing. I feel like any scheme by Kelsey is just going to go horrifically wrong, but I'm curious.
Yeah, if she actually is able to go through with it, it will absolutely go wrong. Basically, the plan is she wants to convince Ramsey, Maddie, and Dallas, maybe, to vote that everyone's voting to keep Shari, so that they vote out LaVita, and then secretly everyone else votes out Shari, and then after the vote, they'll be like, "Oh, Dallas, Ramsey, and Maddie, what are you doing voting out LaVita when we were all gonna keep her? Why are you doing that?" And then hopefully then LaVita will go after them instead of her.
Okay, I mean, Kevin Peely, like, what do you guys think about this? I mean, the house is already split. Why is Kelsey trying to do this?
That's insane.
did Paul Jackson enter Kelsey's brain for a night? Is that what happened?
Yeah, that's insane.
She had to become the villain.
My response would be, if I went into a show format or if I went and played a competition that I didn't really know what was going on, I'd kind of keep it simple and just try to observe and say, oh, Kelsey doesn't know anything about this game, and week two she's trying to be the – that's insane. I can't believe what is going on.
I feel like she's trying to take over Jared's HOH. Like, she feels like, oh, we are showmans or whatever we are. It's our HOH, but no, it's really his HOH. And like I said before, if he was playing more on his own, I feel like – it would be a different scenario. Like, she's just kind of gotten to his head, but she, I don't really.
guys, she has to be the bad guy.
She did want LaVita out in the first place, right? Like, she was like livid when they had a conversation because she was LaVita's target, and now they want Sharia. Like, get it? Like, I don't understand. They change every day what they want, so I don't know.
Basically, people have been setting it up so that they feel like LaVita's more out of the game, and they feel like they can control LaVita and have her go after the Jared and Kelsey and Raul and Dallas kind of group for them. So people like Mitch and Cassandra are doing that. And Kelsey, to her credit, kind of saw that. She was like, if we keep LaVita, then she's going to come after us next week. We're going to be in deep trouble. So this is kind of her way of, like, how do I avoid that? Obviously, it's terribly thought through, but you can see where the primitive thought is coming from.
Mm-hmm. Now, Taryn, let's say, hypothetically, LaVita does win HOH next week, which I am now rooting for if she stays in the house, because this will be very season 6-esque. Would she nominate Kelsey?
I think she would go after Dallas first. Dallas seems to be the consensus target for pretty much everyone. Pretty much everyone is sketched out by him because of the lies he told. Jared was really the only one who trusted him at all, but Kelsey really doesn't like him. Dallas is by far the most in danger next week.
Oh, no. Yeah. Dallas, bro. He's taking the role of the Ginger Ninja slot. This is so disappointing.
Yeah.
Poor guy. He's going to be, we'll see what happens. Maybe Dallas will win HOH. What happens if Dallas wins HOH, Taryn?
Dallas wants to go after the brothers. He's one of the few people that wants to do that. He was talking about going after Ramsey as well during that whole debacle with the vote lying and thinking he ratted him out. But he did have a reconciliation kind of conversation with him and Maddie, and he finally came to the thing where he's like, all right, I believe you didn't rat me out. But they had this thing where they said, okay, well, but we'll pretend we're still fighting, but now we're secretly in an alliance, but to everyone else we'll still be fighting. And it's hard to tell if they're really fighting or if they're secretly fighting. So I'm not sure how that relationship currently stands, but I believe the brothers will be his main target.
Interesting stuff.
Oh, and also Cassandra will go, because he hates Cassandra, too.
Oh, wow. So the farting in the jar was actually because he doesn't like her.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, interesting. Okay, Kevin Peely, what do you guys think of Ramsey? Because we haven't really seen him on the show yet. He's been on the feeds a lot. He was somebody who a lot of people, including our buddy Mertz, were very high on in the preseason. So what do you guys think about Ramsey?
I, to be honest with you, I can't tell you much about him because I lie. Like, I don't really know much about him.
Which is great. Which just means no one's going after him. Exactly. Which means, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's really, I mean, he had a great episode tonight. He wasn't on the episode, but that's good. That's the equation of, like, going far in the show is not being shown.
The more popular you are at first, the more in danger you are, right? Like, that's production. Mm-hmm. Making them...
Peely, you're the master of going far in the game. You're getting the Ramsey at it. You were, but it's good gameplay. You were really good at Big Brother. That's a little bit of a tease. But you played a great game. You got it. Yeah. No. When was anyone ever gonna go after you?
I mean.
I'm sorry. Am I sleeping on the couch tonight? Like, is that?
Kevin is sleeping. Breaking news: Kevin is sleeping on the couch, ladies and gentlemen.
We were all saying Peely's doing well. She's not going to be targeted.
It's true. I understand.
Kevin's sleeping. Kevin's sleeping on the couch. That's what Peely's wants. Yeah.
All right. It is true though. The less that you are shown, I guess, the better, because that means you're not in danger. You're not. I mean, it sucks. Of course, it isn't it's not great, but it's a good thing though, because you're not being targeted. You're obviously not a target. You're just chilling. You don't want any blood on your hands if you don't need to. The less blood, the better, obviously. So. Yeah, so it's a good thing that we haven't seen Ramsey.
That's Ramsey didn't have a diary. He had zero diary rooms tonight. I was actually keeping track because halfway through the show, I'm like, we haven't seen him yet, and we ended up never seeing him.
Well, I don't think
we got one from Maddie. We got one from, I think, everyone else.
Yeah.
Have we gotten a diary room from Ramsey this season? I don't really even know.
There was a couple comments earlier about, he talked about the cold water in episode one, how he's from the east, and that doesn't work well with him.
Not really.
Not much of Ramsey, not much.
And with your comment, I agree with you. If you look at the ratings or whatever from DRs from our season, I was one of the ones with the lowest DRs. And I mean, I'm not complaining. That was great.
And that's because you were always in a good position. You were never targeted. Ever.
Peely Niemer, killing it. Okay, let's take some of your questions, guys. If you want to leave a question, you can tweet myself using the hashtag RHAP, or you can leave a comment on the YouTube video below. This one comes from Tony1996. He says, hey guys, live feed question. Am I crazy thinking that Mitch and Joel are in the best spots right now? 604 Proppa. Taryn, fill us in. Who are Mitch and Joel in the best spots?
Yeah. You know, Joel is somebody I've focused more on Mitch about how well Mitch is doing, but Joel is also doing really well. He's basically in the same spot as Mitch. He's got a really good relationship with Cassandra. He's talked with Ramsey a lot. He's basically good on all sides. A lot of people really like him. He is really kind of awkward, you know, here and there, but it's a lovable kind of awkward. They talk about how they love Joel and how, while it may be awkward to talk to him sometimes, they really enjoy having him around and they're looking forward to being friends with him outside the house. So I think he's doing really well. He definitely has a good strategic mind. I'm really hoping that him and Mitch kind of solidify something, because they have been working together pretty well and they seem to be most open with each other. At least from what I've seen. So I'm really hoping that they can pair off and kind of, you know, run the house. I think they're in a great spot.
Maybe this will be the better version of the fortress, Kevin. Mitch and Joel. Okay, question for Kevin. This one's from Lauren Harrison. She says, do you think you would do even better in BB Can 3 if the house theme was a casino?
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of hilarious when they released the theme or whatever, and all the poker and gambling puns in the first, I was like, oh my god, how was I on season 3 or whatever? But I mean, the house is gorgeous or whatever, but we're retired. We hung up these shoes a long time ago.
Okay, I'm just checking Twitter quick, and I think we'll wind this thing down because we don't have too many questions that we haven't covered already tonight. Here's one. At Jordan Parhar, the rumors appear to be true. Has Joel been switching in and out with his twin brother named Cochran? Hashtag RHAP.
What?
Survivor
reference. That one's from at 1 a.m. Tony. Okay, here we go. This one's from Michael on Twitter. He says, hi, Kevin. Question, how do you think the brothers are doing?
Yeah, surprisingly well. Peely, you were high on the brothers this episode too. We were talking about it. And there are two people in the house. They haven't gotten nominated. They got isolated the first night and they've avoided the block. So it's kind of like a perfect gameplay throughout the first 2 weeks. Gotta still feel bad for them though, you know what I mean? They both thought they were gonna have their moment in the house to play the game, and then they're just like, it's cut in half.
It would be so wicked though to get to play the game with a sibling. I mean, yeah, it sucks in a way playing as an own, but
which of your 9 siblings would you want to play Big Brother with?
Tough question. There's a lot of them. Girl or boy?
I don't know. Do you pick?
I think I go for Maria. I don't know, like someone that I get along with, just like, because sometimes it's good to like not just game, like game. It's just like it's nice to have someone like a friend, right? That just to get your mind off things a little bit, off the game, I mean, and just I was in the house having fun, so like you know.
I personally would also choose Maria, but that's because Maria is the only one of your siblings that I've met, and I love Maria, so that's my answer. She's great. Okay, here we go. Here's one from Jordan Chong, at Jordan T. Chong on Twitter. Guys, where does Tim rank in the most fun BB house guests of all time? Taryn, I'll throw that to you.
He's definitely up there. I mean, I think we have to wait until we see him for a full season, to really answer that question. But I genuinely think we haven't seen a player like him since Dr. Will. It's this level of just, I don't care about this game. I'm above this game. I can do whatever I want. I don't care if I'm breaking the rules. I don't even care if I go home. I'm just going to do whatever I want. And Will is kind of the only other player we've seen that has that mentality or had that mentality in the house. And it's very entertaining to watch. And he has the charisma to back it up where he can just talk about anything he wants. And it's interesting to watch.
What do you think about, Tim, Kevin and Peely?
You go.
He's amazing. Yeah, I mean, he's really. I want to see him play the game. He's just been the spectator to this point. I want to see him play. You know, when he can win HOH, when he can win a veto, when he can be nominated, and he's setting himself up well. I mean, yeah, fantastic, unbelievable. But we haven't seen him get in the game yet. This is like the guy we've seen his like scouting tape. We've seen him like we've seen him before, but we need to see him in action. Like, how is he gonna do in this moment?
Go ahead,
Peels.
I think he has a great social game so far. He's very likable, and he's very, very smart, hands down. Like, he hasn't really played the game right now. He's just been, like watch or whatever. But once he starts, like, I think people admire him. Like, the house guests, like, they want to, like, ask him for, like, advice, and, like, they want alliance with him. I think he's going to do great. Like, I'd be surprised if he was evicted, like, anytime soon, like...
Well, that since Peely says that, Taryn, what do you think about Tim and Nikki's chances starting next week when they are in the game? Are they going to be targets in the house anytime soon?
Right now, I don't see it. I don't think they're going to be targeted very soon. I think Peely made a really great point, which is that people really do. They look up to Tim, and it's the way that he holds himself, the way that he carries himself. He speaks in like sayings and advice, weird advice things, and people just listen to him, and they come to him for advice, and they absolutely do look up to him because he is kind of like a superstar in Australia, and they see that, and he talks about how he gets recognized, and they you can see the spell come over people. They're like, oh, we want that, and we want to be close to you. And then just how funny he is. People like to be around him because he's fun, and it's fun to be around him. And then Nikki is threatening to quit every other day, freaking out. I don't see anybody wasting a single nomination on her. I think she'll be here for a while.
Oh, that Nikki Graham. Okay, here's one from Lara Kuiper. Sorry if I butchered your last name. Which brother is more liked in the house? Taryn, this is a question for you.
It's actually, you know, I do think the brother thing, I think it's a huge disadvantage. I still think that they're going to invite him eventually. But right now, it's kind of working to their advantage where Phil is kind of in with the Jared side of the house, even though Jared's not a huge fan because he's a little jealous. And Nick is in on the Maddie Ramsey side of the house. And Nick is very with Maddie. That has progressed. I was watching the show, and I had the feeds on my other monitor, and I saw some hand-holding and some hardcore cuddling. So stuff is going on there.
Stuff is going on. Hand-holding. Kevin and Peely, is that how it started for you guys?
Oh, man. God.
Yeah, there was some wrestling on a couch. I think I remember that.
Yeah, I see, this is all I remember is, so day five, was it? Yeah, day five in the morning, Kevin pulled me out into the hot tub, and he said, hey man, like, let's go for a chat. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, Hey, so I think we should have an alliance. It's going to be called the Fortress Final 2. Do you want to go to the end? And I was like, yeah, this is great. And then later in the day, I went on a date with Pee-wee, and I was like, oh, wow, this is so fun. Like, I went on a date with Pee-wee. I was like, maybe I'm going to have a showmance. This is great. And then, like, a few nights later, we had a hot tub party. I went to sleep early. And then I found out that Kevin and Pee-wee were, like, making out all night. And I was like, oh, my God. So there you go.
The alcohol, man. The alcohol. God, I played perfectly until that alcohol came in. And it was just shit out of luck.
Yeah, well, yeah, Kevin, no, to be honest with you, it was all about the fortress, but then as soon as I heard that you stole Pee-wee, I was like, you know what? All about Newport now. I'm clowning Kevin. That
stupid showmances.
No, but for real, very beautiful watching you guys together in the house and seeing you on this podcast. I can't – who would have thunk this a year ago, right? Like, you guys are on my podcast and you're, like, living together. It's just so cool.
We could have had $100,000, though. We could have had this and
but you got $10,000 from Mike Bell.
Yes.
And speaking of Mike Bell, we've got two more questions. This one is from at Alec Beal on Twitter, a little boy from Vancouver. He says, please ask Kevin and Pee-wee if they think Mike Bell will host again. And there's a picture of Mike Bell. So will Mike Bell host another competition in Big Brother Canada history?
The bald guy.
Oh, my God.
We can only hope, right?
Bad showing for Arissa Cox tonight. She's in a lot of trouble all of a sudden here for the hosting position. I mean, Mike Bell just put such a strong performance in.
Yeah, I think Arissa's got to watch out, honestly. I mean, Arissa is in trouble. Mike Bell is coming hard for that job. Okay. Final question of the night. And this isn't really a question. It's just an observation that I wanted to bring up. Okay, hold on. If you did not see tonight's episode of Survivor, fast forward like 2 minutes. Okay, so you guys saw that Caleb Reynolds, Beast Mode Cowboy, unfortunately was medevaced from Survivor this evening. So there was that. But there was I don't know when I saw this. It was earlier on in the day on his Twitter. He said that he's coming to Canada in 2 weeks. So is Caleb going in? Is Caleb the third wild card? Is Caleb on the sideshow? What's happening here, guys?
I have a question. Why did he leave Survivor? What happened?
So I missed the end of the episode. I just saw like the final words thing because I was coming home from work. Taryn, you saw it, right?
Yeah. I basically there was a very, very hard challenge and it was very hot out and multiple people kind of went down with heat exhaustion. And they had to medevac him out with a helicopter.
Got hurt.
Sad.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah, so there goes Beast Mode Cowboy. But Big Brother Canada 4, well, what's happening with Beast Mode?
Yeah, he's coming to Canada. He might make an appearance there, eh?
I don't know. Do we want Beast Mode on our sideshow or no? Is this good or bad?
I've had enough of Beast Mode.
If Beast Mode goes on Big Brother Canada and then goes on The Amazing Race, he will not only have completed the holy trinity of CBS reality shows, but he will have also invaded Canada. I mean, who can compete?
And he's going to be The Bachelor in 2021 here too, so he's going to cross everything off his list.
Oh man, Beast Mode Cowboy. At the end of the day, he's going to be the best reality TV star that ever was.
I ain't heard that on Survivor.
Oh man, good old Beast Mode. Kevin Pee-wee, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Where can we follow you guys and hear more about what you guys are doing?
Well, my Twitter is, what's my Twitter? Pilar Niemer. I actually don't really. Every social media of mine is different. It's either Pee-wee or Pilar. I can't keep up with it. I'm serious, guys. It's not funny. My Pilar Niemer, BB Can.
Okay.
My Instagram, however, is Pee-wee Niemer. See, everything is different. Oh, you guys, just laugh away. So go follow me if you want to hear what I do every day and my thoughts on Big Brother Canada 4.
All right. There we go. So so at Pilar Niemer BBCan on Twitter and at Peely Niemer on Instagram. Kevin, you're killing it with the Twitch poker stuff. So tell people more about that.
Yeah, it's going really well. Yeah, I mean, I'm streaming 4 days a week live on Twitch. We're playing online poker, trying to grind it up, increase our skill at the game, trying to get a little bit of an opportunity going through there. We're running a full-time YouTube channel off of that. So, yeah, we've hit the Twitch market hard. It's going really well.
All right, there we go. So follow Kevin on Twitter. He's at Kevin Rob Martin. You can see all that stuff. What's your, like, Twitch? Is there a URL for your Twitch?
Oh, yeah, there's a link in my Twitter if you go there. That's the best way. It's KevinMartin987. But just Google Kevin Martin Twitch and you can get there.
All right. Taryn, any final thoughts before we close up shop for the evening?
Kevin's Twitch channel is excellent. I think everybody should go there. Even if you don't know much about poker, he's great about explaining what he's doing, and he's very entertaining, so you should really check him out.
Aw, thanks, man. That's really kind of you. I appreciate it.
Nah. All right, so if you can follow Taryn on Twitter, he's at @ArmstrongTaryn. You can follow myself. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Nice and simple. Make sure if you like this podcast, there's a few things you can do. One, subscribe on iTunes. Go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Man, I've said that so many times. It's about time that I screwed that up. You can also follow, you can subscribe to the Reality TV Rahapups page on iTunes as well, robiswebsite.com/rehapup, so you get my show, The Bachelor Rehapup, you get the Challenge podcast, the Top Chef podcast, lots of great stuff. Go check that out. Check us out on YouTube as well. You can see the video version of this. Oh, it's been a long day for me. I'm sorry, guys. So check all that stuff out. You can see Kevin and Peely in the flesh. It's great seeing their lovely faces. And, yeah, leave some comments on robiswebsite.com as well. Let us know what you thought of this episode. And leave a review, too, on iTunes, robiswebsite.com/rehappyhour. If you leave a review, I'm going to be drawing three names out of a hat at the end of the season, and you're going to be getting a Jordan Parhar-related prize at the end of the season. So three people are getting a prize. If you've already left a review, your name is already in the hat, so you don't need to do anything. But if you are new to the podcast, you want to help me out, leave a star rating and write up a little review. Tell me what you think, what you'd like to see on the podcast, what you think I can be doing better, all that kind of stuff. Love to hear from you guys. Okay. Hashtag we need from this episode, guys. We need a hashtag to let people know what to tweet at us after the show so they can tell us what we thought. A few came to mind for me. One is hashtag Kevin is sleeping on the couch. And two, what is Peely's Twitter?
We've also got Mike Bell for BBCan4.
Oh, yes, that's right. Mike Bell for BBCan4. We got lots of hashtags today.
Yeah.
This is very hard. I think Kevin sleeping on the couch, I think, is...
Maybe just Kevin on the couch.
Kevin on the couch. That's what we had in from Matt Ligori in the chat. Yeah. So really hashtag so hashtag Kevin on the couch. Tweet at us. Let us know what you thought about the episode. And yeah, we'll see you Sunday night after the first episode, the nominations. We'll see all that kind of stuff. I'll be talking to Allison White from Big Brother Canada 2. All right, guys.
This is so good.
It's great.
So good.
Great.
It's great. All right, guys. For Kevin Martin, Peely Niemer, and Taryn Armstrong, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Kevin on the couch. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Reality TV.